Glory to God. Well, we're going to continue to look at learning how to follow the leadings of the Holy Spirit. I've already said to you, one of the probably the most important person to you right now in this time is the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, I was in here praying this morning and the Lord dropped in my heart and said, and this thought came up. Adam was able to talk to God and understand everything God said. And I want you to think about that. He was able to commune with God, have conversation with God, and he could understand every single thing God said. Amen. Now, the Bible says that Jesus is who? The last Adam, which means Jesus could have a conversation with God and understand everything that God said as well, right? Well, did not the Bible also says that as he is, so are we? Now that we are born again, we are also able to have a conversation with God, and we should be able to understand everything he needs to say to you and I. You have a right to know everything that God has given for you to know concerning this life. That is part of your blood covenant right. You are not supposed to be ignorant. You are not supposed to be walking in darkness. You are not supposed to be confused. You have a covenant right to know the answer to any issue or any situation that comes up in your life. You are supposed to know. And God has given you the ability to know because he has put his spirit in you. So therefore, all you need to do is ask, listen, and obey. Stop saying that you can't understand God. Stop saying you can't hear God. Stop saying that God does not talk to you. None of those things are true. They're all lies from the devil. This is what we've been looking at. We started on last week. You need to start telling yourself that when there are issues in your life that you need answers to, the first thing that ought to come in your mind is this. I have a right to know the answer to this. And I expect to know. Because the Lord says I have a right to know. And I expect for you to tell me, Lord, I expect for you to give me the answer that solves this issue right here. I expect for you to give me the information I need to make the next step in my life. I expect for you to unfold for me any and everything I need to know that concerns what I'm doing in this day and this time. You need to think that way. Now, let's get in our Bibles here. And let's go back to St. John chapter 10. Now, we know that Jeremiah says that I know the thoughts. God says, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have or that I think about you. So there are thoughts, there are plans concerning your life. And then we also read on last week, God said that in his book, all the days of your life have been recorded. So God knows who you are. God knows where you are, and he knows what you need to, what you're supposed to be doing and how to get you there. Now, St. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says this, I have come that you may have that life and enjoy it. So God says, I know the plans that I have concerning your life. And Jesus says, I have come that you can have it. So not only did God plan for it, he also provided for it and sent Jesus to make sure that you and I were able to tap into the plan that he has for us. And then Jesus says this, not just to have the life, but to enjoy it. You and I, we are supposed to be enjoying this journey. You are not supposed to be sad. You are not supposed to be depressed. You are not supposed to be oppressed. You are supposed to be enjoying your journey with the Lord. Jesus says, I have come that you may have the life that God planned for you and that you may have it more abundantly and that you may be enjoying it. So if you're not enjoying where you are, that means you're not on God's plan for your life. Now, you can be making a lot of money and still not be enjoying your life. That is telling you something. It is saying to you, you're not where you're supposed to be because money is not going to make you happy. Money cannot produce the joy that God's plan in your life produces. Now, it can buy you some things, but after a while, things are not going to be good enough. There is nothing else like fulfilling God's plan for your life. There is nothing like walking in your purpose and fulfilling your destiny and doing the thing that you were created by your creator to do. That is the greatest joy that you could ever feel or experience in this earth. So I think that's kind of where we dropped off on last week. So we're going to pick it up there if we didn't. Let's look at John chapter 14. And then Jesus says this. I think we also look at this as well in verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way. So if you want to figure out how to get to the plan, he didn't ask you to figure it out. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. You don't need to go and ask it. You do not have to ask anybody else about who you are. Quit asking people. They don't know. Jesus says he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. So if you want to know something about how to get into the plan, yeah, it's Jesus. If you want to know the truth about the plan, yeah, it's Jesus. If you want to know if you're living the life that the plan requires, you ask Jesus. Quit asking people. Quit calling the hotlines. Quit reading the horoscopes. Put all that stuff away. It's foolishness. It's pointless. It means nothing. It's trash. Go to the Bible and get with the Lord and ask him about the plan that he has for you. Well, Pastor, I may not get the right plan. He just says, I'm the truth. If you go ask God, you're going to get the right plan. I just told you that you have a right to know it. So if you don't know who you are and where you're going, it's your fault. Because God has already provided for you the means for you to know all these things. Stop wandering around through life aimlessly and not knowing where you're going. So he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now, we're still going to be bumping around in the book of John because this is the mind. I believe the Holy Spirit had this written this way. This is the mind of Christ, of how he thought about walking out purpose in the earth. This is his mind about it. Now look at St. John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. In other words, Jesus is the source by which everything flows to you. He's the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in the vine, he that stays connected to the vine, he that walks with the vine, he that inquires of the vine, he who abides in me and I in him. Notice, if you stay connected to the vine, then what's in the vine gets in you. Isn't that true? Whatever's growing in the root of the tree is in the branch of the tree. So if I stay connected to the vine, then whatever's flowing through the vine gets in me. This is why he says, I'm the way. You're not going to find out purpose disconnected from the vine, because it's going to flow from the Father through the vine into you. So he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I'm in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, the vine, the source, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, without the Word, without the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing according to the plan that God has for you. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do anything, because there's a lot of saved folks doing all kinds of foolish stuff, but it's not going to be successful. It won't bring you the joy. It won't bring you the happiness. Without him, you will not be able to live the life that Jesus said he came to provide for you. I don't know about you, but that's the one I want. I want that life. And I can tell you right now, the amount of it that I've lived so far has been wonderful. I was laying in the bed the other night thinking, and I came to this thought. I have lived now more years saved than I have lived unsaved. I finally have crossed over it. And I can look back over these last 20 some odd years And I can tell you, from the time I gave my life to Christ to now, it just keeps getting better and better and better and better. I used to couldn't understand what the old mothers would say when they would say that each day with Jesus keeps getting sweeter and sweeter. I couldn't get it. But now that I've lived a little, and not only did I think about I've lived longer saved than I have lived unsaved, I'm getting to the age that we would consider an adult. And I'm starting to understand more and more about God. And the more I understand about God, the better life looks and the better life gets. I'm telling you, if you're not enjoying this thing, you're doing it wrong. There ought to be some change that has happened. I don't care if you've been saved 20 minutes. There ought to have been some change for the better. Now, I'm not saying we don't have problems. But where problems used to stop you, they have no right to stop you anymore because you have a right to information now. The vine is there. Are you connected? If you're connected, are you born again? Have you received Jesus, your Lord and Savior? You're connected. Then you have a right to whatever's flowing through the vine. And information's there. So without him, you can do nothing. So to me, that tells me quit trying to plan my own life. Quit trying to do my own thing. Get with the Lord and find out what the plan is and do that one. Because that one has everything attached to it that I need. You want to talk about living in the overflow of abundance? There's where it is. You don't really need the abundance. See, let me tell you right now. Abundance. How could I say this? Look, let me back up and say this. I don't want you to get in your mind of thinking that your life won't prosper now that you're born again. You're born again. You're already living the prosperous life. Abundance is it really truly for you to live a happy life. Abundance is for the work of the ministry. Abundance is for the outgo, the outreach, the stuff that God's going to have you do out here. If you're not going to walk in the plan that he has for your life that's going to touch other people, you really don't need abundance. All you need is your needs met. That's all you need. You got to think God's a businessman. He's a businessman. And if you're not going to walk the plan that he has for you that requires abundance to do it, then he's not going to give you the abundance or waste the abundance there. He's going to say, I'll put that money over in his hands over here because they're going to work with it. God is not in the business of just making you a fat cat. He wants your cup to run over so that your cup that's running, your cup's full. Your needs are met. But when it starts to run over, it runs over onto other people. So the abundant life that you're calling and asking God for isn't for you another house. It isn't for just another car. It's for you to touch this world. And I'm telling you, if you get in this plan that God has for you and start yielding to it and walking in it, what you will find is your cup will begin to run over because it's going to take resources for you to be able to touch other people. But if your cup is running over, that means your cup is already what? Full. So your needs gets met on the way. Now, John chapter 16. Let's look at that. Verse 7, Jesus says this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So Jesus had to go away because he was subject to a geographical location. But the Comforter wouldn't have any limitations. The Comforter could be everywhere, in everything, and in everyone, all at the same time. But Jesus couldn't. So he says, I have to go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter can't come. But if I go away, he that is going to comfort you will show up. That's important for where we're headed. All right. Now, go back now and look at John chapter 14 again. Let's look a little bit about this comforter. John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus praying here says, I'm going to pray the Father and he shall give to you another comforter. Well, I guess I should start this. Another comforter that he may abide with you forever. So now the comforter that Jesus is sending will abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now, Jesus is speaking here about the time that the comforter was going to come. We live in the time that the comforter has already showed up. He's already in us. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he shall be with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus says, I am not going to leave you without a comforter. The word there is actually orphan. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan without a covering, without a covenant, without help, without someone to care about you, without someone to provide for you. I'm not going to leave you alone, is what he said. Now, look down here in verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Amplified Bible says, but the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things. He will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. You have a right to information. Part of the Holy Spirit's responsibility in your life is to make you recall, bring to your remembrance any and everything that God has said about that plan concerning you. You are supposed to know. Stop allowing the devil to confuse you and to get you into a place where you think that you are, that you don't have access to information. You are not like everybody else in this world. You have a connection to the Father through by the Holy Spirit. And if you'll go to him and inquire of him, he will reveal to you who you are, where you're going, and what you're supposed to be doing. He just said it right there. He will cause you to remember. Now, I'm not going to go back through all that what I talked about on last week about what the Holy Spirit told me about destiny was spoke over you and into you before you were released into your mother's womb. Your spirit man came here full of purpose and potential. And when it was recreated, it was recreated. See, if I had a mold here and I made something out of this original mold and I sent it out. Now, it's out here in the world and it's being used and it gets broken or it gets destroyed. If you want another one, just like that one, you have to do what? Go back to the original mold and recast it. Well, when you got born again, God didn't recreate something brand all over, start from scratch again. He went back to the original plan that he already spoke and said, let that plan be. It's the same plan. It just was recreated in your in that spirit man. It was put back in there the exact same way it was put in there the first time. You are full of God's potential. And God is excited about you. God is excited about. Now, the devil, he's scared of you. Satan does not want you to find out that plan. Cause whatever you've been equipped to do destroys some part of his kingdom. He doesn't want you to find out. That's why he wants to keep you in darkness. But you've been translated out of darkness. You've been translated over into the kingdom of his dear son. And the Bible says that you have been born of God, who is light, and that you are the children of light, and that you're supposed to walk as the children of light. That's revelation and understanding, folks. I've made up my mind. I refuse to be ignorant. I refuse not to know. You are not going to keep me bound up because I don't know. That's a lie. Now I know the truth. You can't do that. I know exactly what God wants me to know, and it's being revealed to me each step of the way. I'm going to fulfill my pages. Whatever's in that book, I will do. God says in his book, all the days of my life have been recorded. Glory be to God. I fully intend on walking in each one of those pages. Now, what about you? I'm going to do it through by the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, flip back over. I told you we're going to be flipping back and forth here. Back to John chapter 16. I'm linking things, thoughts together to create a picture in your mind of what the Holy Spirit has done for you. What being connected to the vine is doing for you. Now, verse 12. Jesus says here, I have many things to say unto you, but you can't hear them right now. So there was a time that they couldn't understand what God had to say. That's what Jesus said. Hey, I can't explain it to you right now. There's a lot that I want to say, but you can't understand it right now. But verse 13, how be it though? But when he, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, Holy Spirit is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he will speak, and he will show you things to come. So now we've received the Holy Ghost, right? So now whatever Jesus wants to say, we can understand it. How? Because his Spirit is alive on the inside of you, and his Spirit's job is to take you by the hand and lead and guide you into all truth about whatever it is concerning your life. For the Holy Ghost will not speak of his own message. Get that? He doesn't have to. Why? There's already been one recorded concerning you. So all he's going to do is receive what the Father's already said and then say it to you, showing you of things that come in your future so that you can open your mouth up and agree with it. He can't do anything in your life apart from your speaking it. He has to show it to you first, because when you see it and you see it the way he sees it, then that's how you'll start saying it. The reason that a lot of Christian people still call themselves broke is because they have yet to see what God sees about their finances. The reason that God's people still call themselves sick is because they have yet to see what God sees about their physical body and their health and their healing. But whenever you allow the Holy Spirit to speak up on the inside of you about your physical health and healing, he's going to say to you what the Father's already said. By his stripes, you are healed and made whole, because I sent my word and it has healed you. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to constantly say to you. Now, you may not want to hear that, but that's all he can say. He's showing you what your future will look like. It may look grim right now. You may be broke down in your body and laying flat on your back. That may be what you look like right now, but the Holy Spirit is not coming to show you that picture. He's coming to show you the picture of how God sees you. God sees you up. God sees you moving. God sees you fulfilling the pages of your day. So he's going to talk to you about health. He's going to talk to you about healing. Why? So that you can see that and start saying that. And when you see it and say it, it'll get you up out that bed. It'll change your life. So the Holy Spirit's job is to show up to help you see it the way God sees it, and to remind you about what God has said about you so that you can see that and begin to say that. You know, Joshua chapter 1 says that you meditate in the word of God, that thou may what? observe, see how to do. When you see how to do, it says, then you will make your way prosperous. Your way will not be prosperous until you have seen what the Holy Spirit is showing. And then you will have success. That phrase have success means you will be able to deal wisely with the affairs of life. How many want to deal wisely with the affairs of life? Then you cannot do that without the vine. All right. All right. Let's keep going. We're getting there. John chapter 5. This has turned me on. Getting my mind wrapped back around this. Because when you don't know how to do something, frustration sets in. When you know that there's a place that you need to be, but you can't get there and you don't know how to get there, you are frustrated. And this is why people in church are frustrated, because they know that there's more to their life than what they're seeing. They just don't know how to get their hands on it because nobody is telling them what I'm telling you this morning. You don't have to be that frustrated Christian. And I tell you, I've declared I'm not going to be any longer. I'm not looking for someone to tell me how to do something. Now, it's nothing wrong with having godly counseling. Nothing wrong with that. But when you start saying you can't make another step until someone come help you, now you've lied and you've believed the lie of the devil, because if no one shows up to help you, Jesus already done it. I don't care if nobody else for the rest of your life tells you anything. You are still better off in that position than you would be if you had 150 counselors. Because you can get in your prayer closet. You can ask the Father, hey, tell me what's on page 200. And if that's whatever page you're on, if you're on page 200, I want to know what's on page 200. He'll tell you, and then you can walk in page 200 that day. And then tomorrow, what's on page 201? See, I don't need to, if you're only on page 10, you don't need to know about page 50. Do page 10. See, you trying to figure out all. See, here's what you want from God. This is why you don't believe the Lord is talking to you, because he don't give you A, B, Z, D, E, F. I mean, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way to Z. He don't give you the whole spectrum, show it all. He don't unroll the whole script for you, so you don't believe you heard nothing. No. You heard him very clearly. He gave you point A. Do that, and point B is on the way. See, I'm telling you, folks, we're headed somewhere, and I'm headed somewhere. I've made up my mind. I know I am headed to a destination, and I am desiring to take all of y'all with me. But I'm not your God. All I can do is show you the roadmap and say, come join me. But you got to know how the journey is going to work for you. And only the Holy Spirit can tell you that. But what I do know is that if each and every one of you would get into the pages of the book that God has written concerning you, it will fulfill everything in your life, and it will help fulfill everything that this ministry is called to do. I know that. I definitely know that. Now, I said St. John chapter what? 5? Verse 30. Now listen to the mind of Jesus concerning life. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. Now listen to this from the Amplified Bible. I am not able to do nothing from my own independent, nothing from myself, independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God, as I get his orders. So Jesus said, I can't do anything independently from God. I can't. This is Jesus talking. And he did some things. But he's telling you, he's showing us. He says that he couldn't do any of it on his own. He had to wait from the orders from God. Or he had to wait and find out from God what was written on the pages of the book of his life. Now, let's listen to what else he says here. As I hear, Jesus says, as I hear what? What the Spirit of God is saying. As I hear, I judge. I decide as I am bidden to decide, as the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. Listen to what he just said. You have to decide on what path you're going to walk. Now, there are two voices in the world. And whichever one you spend the most time with is the loudest. Jesus said here, as I hear. Now, he spent all of his time with the Father. And he says, as I hear. Now, how is he hearing? The same way you and I hear. He's not hearing Jesus turn and go left. That's not what he heard. He hears the same way you and I hear with the ears of his spirit. And as he hears, he judges. Now, follow me here. Jesus heard both voices just like you and I do. The voice of the Father is always speaking to you through the voice of the Spirit of God, the voice of the Spirit of God, and the voice of the devil. They're both chatting. They were both chatting in Jesus' ear. And if you think they weren't, you foolish. But he says, as I hear, I'm judging. See, you're going to hear them both, but now you're the one that's going to judge whether you act on it or not. See, the information's coming. God says, the voice of the Lord, let's go back and look at it this way. Father, I'm having financial issues. It's hard making ends meet. What do I do? You're praying that. Here comes the voice up on the inside of you. Well, you know, I've been talking to you about that 10% tithing, and you haven't done it. Right behind it comes the other voice. Your light bill's this much, your car payment's that much, you can't afford to do that. Now it's time to judge. And whichever one you judge, right, because Jesus says, let's look at this, let's finish what he just said here, and then see the rest of it. So he says here, what verse were we reading on? So he says here, as the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment or decision is right. It's right. Why? Because I did not seek my own counsel on my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and purpose of the Father who sent me. Now, what did he just say? Hey, so now here those two thoughts came. Now it's time to judge. You're either going to be moved by fear and emotion, or you're going to be moved by the word of God. But one of them you're going to choose. Whichever one you choose, you deem that one to be right. Now, Jesus tells you which one is right. He says, now, whatever decision I'm making here, I know it's right. Why is it right? He said, because I decided not based on my own desire, but I decided based on the word of God's desire for me. Therefore, I know it was right. It may not look right. It may not sound right. It may not feel right. But if God said it, it's right. And Jesus said here that when he says, as I hear, I can't make any decisions on my own. But as I hear, I judge. And I know the decision I make is right because I always choose based on God's will and not my own. This is the key that plugs you in. But when you do not spend time with God and when you do not believe God loves you like you're supposed to, when the devil starts talking, you believe him and you do his will. And it's not the right judgment. It's not the right decision. And it produces issue. It keeps you where? In darkness. Because now you still don't know what to do. It's a temporary fix. It temporarily relieved some pressure, but opened up the door to another one. But when God's answer comes, peace, be still. It solves all issues. That's why Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. I got the answer. You believe God, believe in me. I got the answer. I mean, is this making sense to you? This is exciting to me. You don't have to figure it out, folks. It's already been planned. Prayer is important. This is where you get the information, a life of prayer. Not just going, see, thank you, Lord. Not just praying when the road gets rough. If all you do is get in God's presence when the road gets rough, you are approaching the answer agitated and you're not going to get it right. Because you're operating the system wrong. If you have a life of walking with God, it's natural. See, a life that goes to God only when the road gets rough is, oh, Lord, I need an answer. Oh, let me pray. Blah, 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 blah. And you're in there and you're praying and you're laboring to get an answer and you're still underneath the pressure of toil. And you're not going to get an answer that way. But a life that just loves God, lives with God, you just walk through life, you enjoy it. And the Bible says you will hear a voice behind you saying, you're just going and no, don't go that way. Oh, okay. And you just keep on going. Stop right here. Go over there and talk to that person. I mean, it's just a part of your life. And the answers come without you even having to go. And a lot of times, a lot of answers will come without you having to stop to ask. Your life is asking because you've made the decision a long time ago. I'm living for you, Lord, and I'm just walking with you. And wherever I need to be, direct me there. Whatever I need to do, tell me how to do it. Wherever I need to go, show me how to get there. And I'm just going to enjoy life. And it's no struggle in it at all. That's a partnership. And that's what God wants, a partnership. So Jesus says, hey, here's the key. I always ask and then I judge. I don't try to figure it out. I get the information, I judge the information, and I choose according to the will of God. Now, what is the will of God? The will of God is the word of God. If it came from God, it's going to line up with Scripture. Bottom line. All right. St. John chapter 8. We're building. And we're building to a place. Now, in St. John chapter 8. Verse 28, Jesus says this. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself or I do nothing on my own authority, on my own accord. But the Father that has taught me, I speak those things. Now, the Amplified Bible says, I say exactly what the Father has taught me to say. Exactly what the Father has taught me to say. Are you starting to see how Jesus got done what he got done? He didn't get done what he got done because he was Jesus. He got it done because of what he's showing you right here. And I love that the fact that God wrote this down in this book, because it already says this to me: as Jesus is, so are we in this world. We're like him right now in this world. As you walk through this earth, you are like Jesus if you're born again. That's what the scripture says, right? Well, if that's how Jesus got his stuff done, if that's how he got his work done, if that's how he fulfilled the thoughts and the plans God had for him, and as he is, so are we in this world, then that's how we will get it done. And if we'll do it that way, we get the same results he got. You have to. He says, I do and say exactly what the Father has told me to say. And he that sent me is with me. Well, the Comforter is with you. He should abide with you forever. He that is with me is, he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things which please the Father. Well, how was the Father always with Jesus? He was with Jesus in spirit. Spirit of God. The exact same way he is with you and I. The Father that sent Jesus is with us, and he will not leave us alone. You have a right to know everything that God has already said about who you are and where you're going. You have a right to know it. And if you don't know it, whose fault is it? It's yours. Well, you mean to tell me? Now here, yeah. God's funny. He said the reason a lot of y'all don't want to know is because you already don't spend time and money working your plan and you don't want to start over. You know, you want to do with Abraham. Oh, that Ishmael may live. No, I don't want Ishmael. I want Isaac. Now, do you want God's plan or you want to keep on trying to push yours? I'm going to tell you right now, you can push yours all day long, but ain't going anywhere. Now, don't want to have to start over. That's the world's way of thinking about things. God don't have to start you over to get you back on the plan. He could take you right where you are, shift a few things, and you'll be right back on track. You have to start over. You just have to get with him. Once again, he did not ask you to figure out anything on your own. Trust him. His plan is better. I tried it. I tried to get out of the teaching field. I'm done with kids. I don't want to teach anymore. I want to go something where I can just do my own thing. And I went to work for the engineering department at for the city of Kansas City, Missouri. 2.5 years. It was the worst 2.5 years of my life. Horrible. No favor. Well, I had a little favor because, you know, favor's going to follow you, but it wasn't enjoyable. I was making more money. It wasn't enjoyable. I ended up quitting. People were crazy. And went right back to the teaching field. I mean, it was just that easy. Quit. And when I decided to go back to work, went right back to the teaching field and doors swung right back open. Favor just showed right back up. I mean, just stuff happening. But what I didn't understand then, that now I know that if I had just kept on the path, the money that I needed to make was down the road. I just hadn't gotten there yet. So I made a decision based on the voice that I heard saying this ain't enough money, instead of based on the voice of patient and follow God. Get you in trouble. Just like you made the decision to go and finance that new car when the Lord said, wait, because you're tired of driving the one without air conditioning. It's hot. I'm tired of driving around with no air. I'm going to buy a new car. Just be patient. No, I ain't got to be patient because it's hot. All right, you go ahead and judge. And now you made a judgment. And now that judgment's costing you because the free one, the debt-free one, was just a few more steps down the road. Now, I'm not trying to put anybody here in condemnation because we all don't been on the path. But what I am trying to do now is trying to show you how to reconnect with God so that your life can go on. He can show you how to get that one paid off. And then the next one you get ready to get, you'll get it debt-free. Because you understand what's going on now. See, never let anything that's being taught get you under condemnation. God is not condemning. God is educating you for the next step. Amen. It's not just about where you are right now. It's about where you're going. There is another step. And you may have made 10,000 wrong ones. So what? Just make sure 10,001 is the right one. Amen. If it's in the past, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, let them go. Press forward towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. That's the plan God has for you. That's what you want. So we see here, Jesus says, I say exactly what the Father has taught me to say, and I only do those things which pleases him, and he's with me. He's not going to leave me alone. All right, let's keep building here. John chapter 12. Verse 49, Jesus says this, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gives me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father says unto me, so I speak. The Amplified Bible says, this is because I never speak on my own authority or of my own accord or self-appointed. But the Father who sent me has given me orders what to say and what to tell. And I know that his orders, commandments, orders, means eternal life. Whatever God gives me, remember the Holy Spirit is going to come and show you things to come. He's trying to give you something to say. Why? Because whatever you say, whatever he says, say that exactly. Jesus says, I am saying exactly what my Father has told me to say. And in accordance with his instructions. Now, when you say exactly what the Spirit of God is leading you to say, it means eternal life, or it is life producing everlasting in your life. If God gives it to you to say, it is going to produce that life that Jesus says, I came that you may have. It's going to produce it. When you start stringing, see, here's what thoughts are. All thoughts are is a pattern of suggestions that are all strung together to come up to an idea, a body of ideas. So God will give you something to say here. Start saying it. It may not make sense, but it's a part of it. Then as you meditate that and grow on that, another piece will come. And when they all start stringing together, they start to form a picture. But the picture can't be formed until he gets you to say it. God knows what the picture looks like, but you need to know. Look at back at Psalms. Let me find where I need to look here. Hadn't planned on reading this. Give me a second. Psalms 45. The words come to get you to say it so that the picture can form. Psalms 45, verse 1. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. What he has just said there, when you speak of the things that the king has told you to speak of, it's as if God is taking your, because now notice, nothing can happen in your life until you say it. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. The Holy Spirit can say it all day long. Nothing's going to happen. I can say it to you all day long. Nothing's going to happen. See, this is why you got, see, you hear people talking about, don't make that negative confession over me. Who cares what they say? It don't matter until you say it. They can say what they can call you stupid, dumb, dog, good for nothing, broke, busted, disgusted for the rest of your life every day. They can say it to you every day. It don't mean a hill of beans unless you accept it and say it yourself. Now you got a problem. This scripture said right here that I speak of the things that I have made touching the king. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the King, gives you what to say. You have to say it. So what God is doing is taking your tongue, because now notice, the Spirit of God that it was sent will, he will enable you to pray beyond your ability to pray. I haven't gotten there yet, but he'll help you pray in tongues. I just said it that way. What God is doing and has done is he has given you his Spirit on the inside, and what his Spirit is trying to do is get you to take your tongue, dip it in what he's saying, and then paint the picture of your life. And then when you get through using your tongue to paint this picture, you can hold that picture up next to the book God has, and they'll be identical. God says, in the pages of my book are all the days of your life. If you will listen to the Spirit of God and say what he says, say, when you are done, we will hold them both up side by side and they will be identical. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is looking at this one and telling you. But see, you keep on wanting to say what you want to say because what God is saying don't make sense to you. It wasn't designed to make sense. Who cares if it makes sense or not? That's part of the problem in the first place. You're too central, living in this sense reality. You need to let it go. There's a supernatural realm out there that is far beyond your mind to understand, and it has way better stuff than you could. You thought, you know, how many remember the lifestyle of Rich and Famous? You know, if you're old enough, you probably remember that show. You thought when you looked at that, you were like, wow, that stuff is like trailer trash compared to God. Come on, people. You're talking about, whoa. God's like, seriously? You drooling because the man had concrete driveways with a little marble on the side? And you drooling, whoa. He had a gold doorknob, whoa. And God has said, son, all my streets or solid gold. You drooling over a gold doorknob? When you walk up to the gate, when you get here, it's a whole pearl. And the gate is 1,400 miles high. Now, the fence is 1,400 miles high, is how tall the wall is. Oh, and by the way, every kind of gem you could ever think of is what the wall is made out of. Now, can you imagine the pearl on that gate? Oh, my foot pedal is a sapphire so big you probably would you would probably take you a little while to walk around it, and you drooling over a piece of marble on a countertop and a gold doorknob. Come on, folks, there is much more to God than what your mind can't even begin to understand. It takes the Spirit in you to get it. That's part of the reason he had to come. So now your tongue is designed to help you get what God has for you. I don't even know where we are anymore. I don't got excited. Where are we stopped? Where was we at before that? All right, John 12. All right, thank you. Praise God. I mean, my mind just started zooming. Folks, hey, we got a poverty mentality is of the devil. He sold that crap into the church back in the dark ages, and got them taken. The reason it was the Dark Ages is because they got rid of all the Bibles. They hid the Bibles from everybody. So there was really no word of God like that being really mainstream, because they told you couldn't read it. They hid all the Bibles. And if they caught you with one, they burned you at the stake and all kind of dumb stuff. Killed off all the Christians and all that foolishness. So it was called the Dark Ages. And that's when they sold that vow of poverty crap to you. And it's been running through the church. And now you come up to a time now where people start to realize, well, hold on, that don't make sense now. But the problem is mentally, well, spiritually, according to the word, we know we're not supposed to be broke. But mentally, we still fight that if I get too much, I might get off here. That mental thought is still there. You need to break that. You're not supposed to be broke. You're a king's kid. When's the last time you saw the king's kid? Well, here's a good example. I was reading the other day. Well, matter of fact, last night. So Obama went to New York. And his daughters and some of their friends went too. So do you think Obama flew on Air Force One and the rest of them was on Delta? So Obama lands at Air Force One and luxury gets off and can go down there to Delta to pick up my kids? No. The president's kids and their friends rode on what? Air Force One and luxury too. So do you think that he stayed at wherever the presidential suite was in New York? Probably down on Fifth Avenue somewhere. And they was at the Best Western? No. See, the point that I'm trying to get you to understand is you're a king's kid. If Obama's kids can ride on Air Force One, if Obama's kids can stay in the penthouse on Fifth Avenue, then what about God's kids? Now, don't get me wrong. If all you want is a Volkswagen, then fine. Enjoy your Volkswagen. If that's what you want, fine. But that ain't where you're not limited to Volkswagen. But let me tell you this. You can't have what you complain and mock other people about. So if you got your mouth on somebody's Bentley, if you got your mouth on somebody's Mercedes, if you got your mouth on somebody's Escalade, you'll never get one.
Well, I don't see why the preacher got to have all that. He can just be fine in a Ford.
Yeah, he could be if that's what he wanted. But don't get mad at me because I want something more than a Ford. And if you put your mouth on whatever I want, then guess what? You'll never have one. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But guess what? Your mouth's not going to stop me from getting it. It's just going to stop you. All right. I don't know why the Lord had me throw that in there, but maybe it needed to be said. All right. John chapter 14. I'm showing us how to tap in, folks. Because we plugged in here. We're plugged in. I'm expecting. We're still dealing with the supernatural, and I'm expecting. I don't know how many of you guys have stopped expecting. Get your expectation up. I'm expecting stuff to happen. I'm expecting stuff to break loose. I'm expecting stuff to go on in your life. I'm expecting prosperity to show up. I'm expecting healing to show up. I'm expecting to see deliverance to show up. I'm expecting to see some stuff happen. Because God says so. God is not a God that does things in the dark. God is flamboyant. He wants everybody to see it when it happens. But you are the billboard. The world can't see how good God is until they see you. How do they know how prosperous the United States is when the president shows up and gets off of that, what is it, 747? You know, they got two of them. And you complaining because they complain because Creflo Dollar wants to buy one plane that costs $65 million. Do you know how much a 747 costs that's equipped like that one? And they got two. And when one, if he flies from here to Egypt, the other one has to go and be on standby just in case that one breaks down. The United States is the only country that provides 100% of its president's transportation. In other words, not only does Air Force One fly, but there's another cargo plane that you never see that carries the limo and all of the other equipment and Secret Service equipment in the plane behind them. So when the Air Force One taxis up and all the cameras is on, which you don't see back here that came 2 or 3 days before, was the limo, the ambulance, and all the other stuff that he was going to need because he was going to be here for a few minutes. Come on, folks. So when they looked, they was like, whew. Now how much money do you think it costs to operate that operation? And guess what? They don't even ask you, would you volunteer to help? They just take it. You're going to help us do this. It's called taxes. Now, we ain't going to trust you to send it in. We're going to job before they even get their paycheck. Take it. I don't care that they don't like it. And matter of fact, we decided we're going to raise it another 2%, and we raising it. Take that too. You don't get to choose. But God's so wonderful. He don't even put you in. He didn't even put us in that 15, 25% tax bracket. He says, hey, will you voluntarily just bring me 10%? But here's why. Because I'm going to take your 10% and I'm going to spend it on you. I'm going to make sure your church is up. And if your church is doing what it's supposed to do, I'll make sure your church lights are on. I'll make sure the heat's going. I'll make sure the air is going. I'll make sure that you have what you need to do what you need to. He spent it on you.
Oh, I don't want is my money.
Okay, well, you think about that. I listened to a CD the other day, and it says it's stupid. And it is. I agree. It's stupid for a preacher to stand up there and talk about to preach poverty to the congregation that he got to receive an offering from. That's stupid. And here's something else that's stupid. All the preacher wants is my money. Okay. And that person that's talking, that's tight-fisted and don't want to do nothing, will be the first mouth open when they show up in the lights. Well, the lights is not on. Well, see, y'all down there wasting the money. No, you didn't give any. We didn't have any to waste. That's the problem. We couldn't waste anything. We couldn't pay nothing because you didn't give anything because all I want is your money. Now, how much sense does that make? The reason that Motel 6 asks for money because it helps keep the light on. It helps the water run. It helps the gas run. It makes sure that bed you live in, it's laying in, is going to have some clean linen on it, right? So, but you don't have a problem cutting that check out for them. But you come right down here to the church and who's on it and talk about what I didn't want. Come on, folks. Well, I don't even know why I'm on this. Lord, let me get off of that. That is not what I'm preaching today. Okay. We almost finished here. I don't even know how far. We'll stop here. John chapter 14, and I'm going to stop. I think. Yeah, John chapter 14. You looking at a pastor that refuses to do anything in debt. We've done nothing thus far in debt. We will do nothing in debt. Everything that's around here. And we don't have cheap stuff in here. I'm just going to say that too. Because I don't believe in cheap. Because if I buy cheap, I got to buy it again. So we don't buy cheap. We buy it right the first time. But everything you see in here was paid for with cash. But it was paid for with cash that you gave and that I gave. And that God supplied. And I'm going to continue to do it that way. Because you're not going to put me in a box and have me preaching, not preaching what God said, because I'm scared you're going to take your money. I was talking to me and Brother Shelby, having a conversation. I said, you know what? If everybody tomorrow decided we ain't coming back to that church and left, it wouldn't hurt us. We offer money underneath the contract concerning the building. We just pay month to month. Nothing here has any debt on it. I told him all we got to do is put everything in storage, go back to my living room, and start all over again. And won't miss a beat. And ain't nobody getting ready to ring my phone for one penny because I don't owe you nothing. That's good. That's why I can teach what I want to teach, like what the Lord tell me to teach, like he tell me to teach, and don't care if I care if you stay, but if you leave, yeah, hey, do what you got to do. Hopefully you'll come back. But anyway, St. John chapter 14, verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, the words I speak to unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father which dwelleth within me, he doeth the work. My goodness, where am I? I probably need to be stopping. Yeah. The Father dwelleth within me, he does the work. Now notice the correlation. We've already seen Jesus says, I say exactly what the Father told me to say. I don't deviate from what he says. I only can say and I only speak what he says, say and speak. And he says here, when I do that, then the Father that dwelleth within does the work. Well, how did the Father dwell within him? Through by his Spirit. When you say what the Holy Spirit is giving you to say, then the Holy Spirit can then empower what needs to be empowered to come to pass in your life. Now, that empowerment is going to, first of all, start out with information. But anytime God says to do something, instructions on how to do it comes. So now you're empowered to get the information, you're empowered with the instructions, and then if it requires favor, empowerment with favor shows up. If it's going to require three or four people to help you, he'll go talk to them to show up to help you. If it requires you to need an equipment, he empowers the equipment to show up. But none of those empowerments can work until you first receive what he said and say it. Not what you thought, what he said. Not what you thought, what he says. Remember, as Jesus says, as I hear, I judge. So you ought to be judging every thought that comes into your mind. Where did it come from? Remember, there's two voices. Where did it come from? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these he shall do, because I go unto my Father. Now notice that. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do. And greater. Now, I always got hung up on this and greater. Well, first of all, the reason that we can do the works that he did is if we follow what I've preached today. But I would get hung up on the greater. What do you mean greater works? Well, you got to stop and think about this. Number one, there's two things. The first one, I'm not going to get into so much. But Jesus operated up underneath the old Abrahamic covenant, which was limited. We operate underneath the covenant of grace and truth, unlimited. But here's the deal that I want to focus on right now. Greater works we will do, not in quality. He wasn't talking about quality, because we will be doing the same thing he's done. It's going to have the same quality. Why? Because his quality is God's quality. It's the top already. So it couldn't have been talking about in quality. He's talking about in quantity. Jesus was limited to wherever regional location he was. He could go no further. If he was in Galilee, he could only work in Galilee. If you notice, he only operated around a certain geographical location. But now the body of Christ, millions upon millions of us, we're not subjugated to a location anymore. She may never leave Kansas City to go do anything, but she's not limited to the work she can do being in Kansas City. Because if she's praying and listen to the voice of the Lord, Holy Spirit is going to be saying to her, now here's what I need for you to do. There's a missionary coming. I need for you to support that missionary. He's going to China. So she supports the missionary's work to go to China. She just went to China. There's some work now going to go in Afghanistan. I need for you to do some praying and send some money over to this ministry in Afghanistan. She just went to Afghanistan. Never left Kansas City. But she supported the work of, she partnered with someone who did. The body. Your heart never has to leave your chest to impact the rest of your body. Your heart does not have to jump out your chest, run down to your foot to make sure it's okay. It just stays right there and supports the whole body from its location. It's a partnership. Your heart has a partnership with the rest of your body. Well, this is what's going on in the body of Christ. When we plug into God and we start listening and we start functioning the way Jesus is teaching us here, then what we find is what he was able to do, she can do in Kansas City. She can do it in China. She can do it in Europe. She can do it in Asia and never leave Kansas City doing it. She's healing, delivering, and setting folks free in Kansas City. And she's also healing and delivering and setting folks free in China, in Afghanistan, and anywhere else God tells her to sow money into. Never left Kansas City. Do you see how limited we have made this life? Now, do you think a woman that's doing that God can trust to do that? Do you think for 1 minute her cup will not run over? Because if God's going to ask her to do that, she has to have her needs met first. See, God is not ignorant, folks. Listen to this. I don't know why God got me all the finances. But in order for her to do this, her needs have to be met, because God understands if her needs are not met when he shows up to talk to her, she's going to struggle with sending it. Why? Because she's struggling herself. So there's going to be a struggle. Well, Lord, I want to send the God to China, but I got to eat myself. There's a struggle. God wants her need met and her cup full. That means she's lacking nothing. Now the cup's running over. So now when he says China, oh, okay, fine. Boom, bam, it's done. Why? No struggle. There's nothing fighting me now, because nothing back here is loose. Everything God is tied down, and all I got to do is just keep my hand this way, out, going forward. That's why God don't want you broke. This is why God wants you plugged in. This is why God is talking to you about your finances. Hey, we are living in a world that is operating in trillions of dollars. God's number is, I don't even know what his number is. The Bible says it far above and beyond all we can ask or think or imagine. Now, do you think a man with gold streets, pearl doorknobs, is going to have a problem with making sure your cupboards were full and your rent got paid? No, he doesn't have a problem with that. The problem is you won't believe him. And say what he said about who you are. Now, we're going to stop there. We'll pick it up there next week, because I still got a whole lot more. We're not nowhere near getting done with this. But I got to get our minds. God is working on something. We started this year off talking about the supernatural power move of God. And then, if you notice, because I only teach when he say teach it, when he say teach it. So he started out talking about the supernatural movement. That was to get you excited about, ooh, glory to God, some stuff getting ready to happen. Ooh, yes, we start naming and claiming, blabbing and grabbing. We're ready to go. But then he got to slow you down. He has to say, okay, now, here's how you do it. Took us right out of that lesson into being led by the Spirit of God. Right out of that into, now, here's how you be led by the Spirit of God. See, I don't really know what he's teaching and what's going to happen until I start looking back at what he's already said. And I start to see the picture. And God is right in step with where we need to be right now. The supernatural, folks, it don't happen by chance. It happens because someone believed it and acted on the plan. There is a plan for Works of Faith Ministries. We're walking in it, and we will fulfill it. All right. So like I said, I'm going to stop. I'm waiting for today. Well, hold on. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word. We thank you for how wonderful it is, and we give you praise for it in the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus.